Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ACC News, the unique internet broadcast series that brings you together with some of the most amazing and interesting individuals from the world of business, industry, health and wellness, art, entertainment, and many more. From company owners, CEOs, and presidents, to the most inspiring people who create the magic behind the scenes that make their company's products and services so special. Here is your opportunity to live their experience and journeys through the words of the ones that actually made it possible. Live worldwide. This is ACC Global News. Greetings to everyone around the globe. I welcome you back to another wonderful segment here with ACC Global News. I am your host, Matthew Connor. And again, I'm actually very happy and honored to be on a special show like the one we have today. It's actually Sexual Abuse Awareness Month. And today we have back with us motivational coach Donna Focarelli. And again, she's the founder of Directions for Life. And she's going to be speaking to us again about this topic that, again, so many of us know someone that has been touched by abuse or sexual abuse in one way or another. And as we all know, usually many times there's not many people we could turn to. If this sounds remotely familiar, again, please grab a seat, get very comfortable, because our special guest today, Donna Focarelli, again, she may possibly give you information that may change your life or the life of a loved one forever. And it is now the 1st of April, and I would like to remind all of our guests tuning in, especially our listeners from overseas, if you do miss any portion of our segment today with Donna, they are archived on our website at accglobalmedia.com. Now, we also have a prior segment with Donna Focarelli as well. If that's something that you do want to tune into, again, please visit our website at accglobalmedia.com, and you'll get an opportunity. And we're also a big part of social media. So if you're on Facebook, you can find us there. We're on facebook.com/accglobalmedia. And we're also on the worldwide Twitter. Please visit us at twitter.com/ACC Global Media. And again, you can really enjoy our shows at any time of the day. And you can also find our prior show with Donna Focarelli as well. We actually spoke on the very important topic of alcoholism. But as far as the topic that we are speaking on today, sexual abuse, and as I said a minute ago, so many of us, we know people that's been in certain situations or has been through some sort of abuse. And as we all know firsthand, this is a time that can be very lonely. And so many different thoughts go through our mind. Again, it's a very dark place for many people. Again, it depends on the experience for some people, how it happens. Everyone really handles it differently. And again, the thoughts that go through some of our minds, you know, sometimes it could be blame. So many of us, it's sorrow. But really, where do we go to for help? At a time like this where you just feel alone, you feel down, and you almost feel as if the whole world is against you. Where can we go for help? And our special guest today, Donna Focarelli, what she's really able to do is really help people and give them a nice confidential connection where they can really speak about their problems. And again, this is from somebody, our special guest today, that has been there. And she's had her own experiences as well. And again, it's a very special show. She will be speaking on that today. As a matter of fact, without further ado to our audience today, I am very proud to present to you motivational coach, founder of Directions for Life, Ms. Donna Focarelli. How are you doing on this very beautiful day, Donna?
I'm good, Matthew. How are you?
I am doing very well. We're very happy to have you with us. And again, for Sexual Abuse Awareness Month, it is now the 1st of April. But before anything, Donna, if you could please share with the audience who didn't get a chance to hear you on a prior segment, who exactly is Donna Focarelli?
So again, my name is Donna Focarelli, and I am a licensed clinical social worker, and I am also certified in EMDR therapy. But first and foremost, I am an individual that has had a lot of issues within and over my life and a lot of hurdles to jump over. And to this day, I suffer some repercussions from my past. I've taken a lot of my issues and what I've gone through, and that's what motivated me to be a social worker, so I could kind of give back and use some of my negative experiences to help other people. So I do believe anything is possible, and I love a challenge. I love trying to help people get their life back in order. And I always say this, I am also a work in progress, as we all are, and I feel that every life experience, good, bad, or indifferent, is an experience we can learn and grow from.
And I love the fact that you did make that point that we're all a work in progress. And to everyone out there, people that are feeling down, sometimes you may have a vision that other people has really found all the answers. No matter where you see someone, no matter where they are in life, know to everyone what they are thinking themselves most likely is that they are a work in progress because there's always something new to learn. Now, Donna, if you could please share with the audience your personal journey that's really led you to where you are here today.
So I'm going to try to not make it too lengthy, but I have to start from the beginning. So my dad, suffered from alcohol dependency, and he wasn't a very nice person when he drank. He's very physical, and he would often beat my mom and my brothers when I was very, very young. So I started to look at him from a different perspective and started trying to figure out why he drank and connect the dots. And as time went on, obviously my time in line came for beatings, but I kind of stood up to him and I offered him help on a different level. So at age 13, I was attending AA meetings with my dad, and he did quit drinking. And I felt such a sense of accomplishment. It made me want to help everyone. But it also led me down kind of a dangerous path. I ended up suffering some repercussions, you know, from seeking out people that I looked at the inner good of everyone and thought I could fix them. And yes. I did it sometimes at my own expense. And one of those times was with someone I grew up with, pretty much was like a childhood sweetheart of mine. We grew up in the same neighborhood, you know, we hung around together. I thought he was a really nice kid. Unfortunately, he started getting into other things, and our relationship, we kind of split and went our own ways. It came a point where his mom became very ill, and she called me over before she passed. And she told me how I helped her son and, you know, how if anybody could ever help him, it would be me, and asked me if I would look over him. Well, she did pass, and as time went on, you know, life was going on. And one night I got a phone call that I guess he had gone somewhere. He went to a club, and I don't know what happened. Somebody, I guess, slipped him something. He was getting into things. Maybe he was dealing with the loss of his mom, whatever it was at the time. They asked me if I would go get him because he wouldn't leave with anybody. And, of course, I was going to go. I went to give him a ride home. I did get him home, and it turned into a nightmare. I was sexually abused by him. It was hard for me.
Wow.
I mean, believe me, I knew this person. I grew up with this person.
And how
I made
old
a
were
commitment.
You at the time?
I was 18.
Wow.
So I was sexually abused, and I to this day, I mean, I could remember walking home, and I put up a good fight. That's all I can say, but it got away from me. Eventually, it was either my life or just that was it. So I still remember walking away and the feelings I felt, and it was hard. And that was probably the first repercussion that when I speak of suffering at my own expense. And that was, yes. You know, my empathy and my desire to think I could help everyone. So obviously, I blamed myself in one way, but I used my dad's story to kind of justify what happened to me, because he was on drugs and now I was using my father in a way that I probably shouldn't have been doing. But that's how I justified it at the beginning.
I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
Well, I'll give it back to you for now, because obviously I can keep going, but I'll give this back to you if you have a question you want to ask me.
Yes, well, what I would really like to know, Donna, again, you were 18 years old, so how did your experience, being raped or sexual abuse, abuse so early in your life, how did that really change your future forever?
Well, at the time, you know, my mom was from a different era. I really had no one to turn to. I tried to work it out myself, again, thinking, you know, this is like my dad. He didn't mean it. It's probably my fault because I tried to help him. I shouldn't have went and picked him up. He was on drugs.
Yeah.
This wasn't the person, just like my dad was a different person when he didn't drink. So I kind of handled it that way, and I was just, you know, going along. But I'll be honest, it came back and bit me because I was a late bloomer. You know, I had no one. My mother wasn't exactly the type that sat down and spoke to you about, you know, a lot of things back in that day. So I remember not feeling well and thinking something was wrong with me. And I had a neighbor, and I'd like to call her my second mom at the time. I used to go to her to speak to her. And I remember not feeling well. And I had an awful lot going on physically with me, and she finally took me to her doctor when I told her what happened. Well, I didn't know this because, again, I was a late bloomer. When he had sexually abused me, he also got me pregnant. And I was miscarrying.
Wow.
So this opened up a whole new area. You know, this would stay with me forever because not only did I miscarry, I found out about a week or two later that he also gave me a sexually transmitted disease. So on that note, Matthew, I know we talk about self-blame, and it's the first and foremost thing we do. But for me, my self-blame went out the window because I could not justify why this person would not tell me that they had something like that going on. And just, you know, so for me, my world was shattered because this turned into me almost having to have a hysterectomy. They wanted to give me one. I said no, and from this, I had 15 surgeries and 5 miscarriages in order to keep my, you know, and have my children. I fought with tooth and nail for this.
Donna, how hard was it for you to gain trust in people?
It was hard. It was almost, I couldn't for a long time. I mean, I put walls up when I felt pain. I related everyone that hurt me, that was close to me. If they hurted me, I felt that hurt that was happened from him because he knew me. So everybody was a threat to me as a person. I had to protect myself. I put walls up. If you hurt me, I felt it again. I had some serious PTSD going on for a long time.
Yes.
It was tough. My journey was twofold, you know, and it went on for many, many years because of the amount of surgeries and the damage that was done to me. So it was hard for me to get away from it because I was constantly going back in for surgery and I was constantly reminded of why. And that was tough.
That is very tough. To really, it's almost as if you had to relive the incident going back to those surgeries. It's now, you mentioned again so much about this blame and you're blaming yourself. And Donna, why do so many women or even men, why do they manage to convince themselves that they may be the reasons to blame or be the victim of these rapes? Why all of this self-blame?
Well, I think there's a few reasons. One may be because sometimes when, you know, people that get raped, when they report it, they don't feel that they get the support they need. For some people, it's easier to believe that a rape victim lied than to believe someone would commit such a horrible crime, especially someone some everybody knows. So that's one reason. Another reason, it could be, it's a way we cope with what happened, a way to repress reliving the trauma. So self-blame is easier to absorb, and it tends to keep you from confronting the truth and reliving the event as you change the way you perceive it and you minimize the players that are involved. But first and foremost, I believe it's a way for us to cope and take control. I mean, isn't it easier if you blame yourself to deal with it than to blame another and deal with being violated? It's easier to fix our own faults and have control over a situation than not have control at all. So if we take the blame, then we can change the behavior and convince ourselves we can prevent it from ever happening again. So losing control is a basic human fear, and it's more comfortable to believe that we always had control over our lives and that this was our fault and we're going to control it because we're going to change things and we will never let this happen again because it's all up to us.
Now, there is something else I do want to touch on because there is, again, so many of the different TV portrayals of rape and, you know, people are getting attacked on the street and that happens. But very so often, Donna, rapes and sexual abuse, it often happens with family members, friends or loved ones that are involved. Now, what is this perception of rape and sexual abuse that really must be realized and spoken about?
Well, you got to realize that it can come from anywhere. And a lot of times it does come from people we know, family members, especially, you know, there's a lot of sexual abuse with younger children that are afraid to, you know, it's important for the parents to have that good rapport with their children from when they're young. So when they can go and talk about anything, like, again, my mom came from a different era. I didn't have that. Things may have been a lot different if I did, you know. But it's hard to accept the fact that you know the person. You don't expect the people who you love and you know to hurt you or someone you know and love. In a sense, it's like a double-edged sword. It just destroys your confidence, your self-esteem. It shatters along with your judgment and trust of everyone around you. So I think when that happens, you know, we have to try to forgive ourselves first, especially if it's someone we know. And you start to look at others and you create a false sense of trust with everyone around you. You perceive it that, you know, did this really happen? And then you start looking at yourself and you feel defected and the self-blame starts and you feel helpless and you feel shame. You got to remember these are symptoms. They're not reality. They're symptoms that come from being abused, especially from someone we may know. It just adds to it altogether, and it hurts that trust in your ability to get close to somebody. It's shattered for a very long time.
Yes. So what do you believe is, I guess, the real first step? Or what is the first step you went through in recovering from this sexual abuse?
So I looked at it through the lens of my father at first. However, again, once I found out, you know, all the other elements, especially that I contracted a disease and I wasn't told, it just, my whole bottom dropped out from me. I had to restore my trust and my faith in people. So I had to forgive people. I was angry, but yet I was determined.
Yes.
So I put focus in connecting myself back to me. And for me, I put it back into my health that I was going to have children. I think every little step for me, you know, when I had my first child, that's when I started feeling better in a strange way. It was almost like I talked about taking control back. So I was taking control back and reclaiming what was taken away from me. I think, you have to learn to self-soothe, and you got to keep yourself grounded, and you just got to learn to reconnect to your body and feelings again, because we have a tendency to disconnect, and it's not, yes. It's easy to do, but it's not healthy. So we need to know how to stay connected. We need to know how to ground ourselves, how to cope skills, how, you know, when flashbacks come up. For me, I would be watching TV and see something, and it would start coming back. So I had to learn what triggered me, and I had to kind of at the beginning know when to walk in a room and when not to, because I could feel it in my body when I started feeling the PTSD or the anxiety. For me, I buried myself even further into a codependency role and started taking on even more people's problems to forget my own. You know, and that's something that I don't.
Many people do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, everyone's different.
And what I really want to know, because again, so many people, they tend to hold on to this for so many years, and some people, they really want to get over it, but they can't. In your opinion, how much do you feel mental support is needed or essential for many people in this process of recovery from the sexual abuse?
It's very needed. You know, it's really hard, but we do. It's like we have to process feelings and thoughts to put closure on it and to get control back of it. It's very important at first, maybe just to have someone to talk to and somebody to have some empathy and listen. We can do support groups. We learn coping skills. We need to find ways to take back control of our life, get back our self-esteem, get back that feeling of confidence, and get back trust. And just to be able to respect ourselves again and just have that overall control is what we need to work on. So it is important. For me, I walked around trying to fix myself for years because I didn't have no one really to turn to. And then, like I said, I had the neighbor. And it's hard. The longer you keep it in, the more barriers you're going to run into and the deeper it's going to go and the more triggers you're going to face. So it's really depends on each individual. The treatment isn't the same for everyone. Everybody's different and everyone processes things different. But it is important to get help.
So what I really want you to do, as far as to the, if there's someone in the audience right now that's tuning in that's feeling, hey, this sounds very familiar, this is me, I've been through this. If they reach out to you, Donna, what are the exact services you could provide to people looking to recover mentally from sexual trauma?
So I will help them, direct them, you know, I will listen to them depending where they are. Maybe they need some support groups. Maybe it's just some therapy, learning some coping skills. I find cognitive processing therapy works well with sexual assault victims, and also EMDR therapy is very beneficial. I will work with them no matter what I have to do. I will meet with them, do phone sessions. I also can do Zoom now, especially with all going on. So, I mean, we'll start where they are, figure out where they are. I have a good idea because I've been through it. So hopefully that'll start a trusting rapport with me, with them right away, because I could kind of relate to them. You know, my empathy is through the roof on this subject because I was there. I've been in that same position. And it's something that you always have. It doesn't ever go away. I mean, we just learn how to cope with it. And we learn how to file it away and say, you know what? I can move on now. I have control back.
And how often will you be available for people if something does happen?
I am always available as much as needed. I don't have hours when it comes to situations like that. You need me, I am there. You will be able to get in touch with me.
To everybody tuning in, I just want you to understand what Donna's actually saying. This is somebody that has actually been there. You've heard her story. She's went through it firsthand. She's found a way to be able to somehow take control of this and be able to live her life and be very successful as she is now. and she wants to help you through this process. This is somebody that will be there for you 24/7, ready to help you get through a situation like this. Again, there's really no number I can put on something like this. It's almost invaluable. So, Donna, if you could please share with the audience, what do you really hope in the end you can ultimately help somebody with that's actually dealing with sexual abuse? For the people that's tuning in, what do you hope you can actually do for them?
That I can help them take back control of their life and live a healthy, prosperous life to go forward in the future and not have this come back and just rip them down and disconnect them from themselves. I would just, my hope and my goal is to give themselves back to themselves and give them control of themselves back and give them their confidence and their self-esteem and empower them to get rid of those self-doubts and that self-doubt and self-blame that comes with sexual abuse.
And I know you yourself has been through abuse, but Donna, I really want the audience to get an idea of why you're doing this. If you could please kind of share with them, what is the personal satisfaction you really get from helping people really regain their lives or happiness after sexual trauma? What do you really get?
I get a self-satisfaction I couldn't even begin to explain. For me to take something that was so negative and so hurtful in my life and be able to use it to help someone and positively get them to move forward, it just gives a reason and a purpose and meaning to a lot of things that I went through. I'm a very spiritual, faith-based person also, so I so often believe that, you know, everything happens for a reason, and maybe one of the reasons I've gone through what I've gone through is to help people not go through or get through what I've gone through.
And I just want to stress to the audience tuning in, again, the value it is to have somebody over there by your side that actually cares, that's willing to be there 24/7, not somebody, you know, after you speak to them for a half hour, you know, you can't do a phone session until a week later, or not an office that closes at 5 o'clock. This is somebody that's willing to be there and help you with this 24/7, whenever one of these situations happens. And again, there's really no number I can put on how valuable that really is. Donna, if you could please share with the audience, for the people tuning in that's looking for help, looking for somebody to speak to, where can people really reach out to you to get more information or really sign up for your program? Where can they go?
So they can go to my website, directionsforlife.net, and all my contact information is there to reach out to me.
And we actually do have about 2 minutes left, and there is a panic going on with coronavirus, and so many people out there are home and they're stressed and they're looking for help or for people to speak to. Are you available to speak to anyone on this, or if you could please share your thoughts about this with the audience?
I am, Matthew. I'm there to share, and you know, and I tell people to try. I know it's a stressful time, but we all got to remember that stress wears our bodies down, and then our resistance will get low. And sometimes, you know, you can't change it right now, so you got to really do the best you can to keep yourself grounded and keep yourself, every negative thought, put a positive in there and try to keep a balance. And look for it. Look at it as a time to reconnect with yourself. You know, remember who you were. Do some things you haven't been able to do. Connect with your family. Call friends. And maybe get back to some of the basics that we forgot how to do because we were so overwhelmed in life and had no time to stop and remember what life was. You know, so I've been telling people, just reconnect with yourself. You know, if you used to like to crochet or read a book, but you just didn't have time, now's the time to do it. And find some peace within yourself and get to know who you are again.
And that was very well said, Donna. And again, everyone, please go to directionsforlife.net and you can get more information on Donna. And please reach out to her if you need somebody to talk to. If you're in the situation where you have been through abuse, again, I can't begin to stress how valuable it would be to have someone like Donna by your side. I would like to thank our special guest for joining us today. This is Donna Folcarelli. Thank you very much for joining us, Donna.
You're welcome, Matthew. You have a great day.
To you as well. And to our audience out there, please visit us at accglobalmedia.com. I thank you all for joining us, and I look forward to having everyone back with us again in the next segment. Everyone have a great day.